wake up, put your shoes on, take a breath of the northern air, and rub those eyes.
It's draft speculation season, and I have some for you. I'm going to run it by Jeff Diamond, our expert here at TalkNorth.com. Jeff, of course, former NFL Executive of the Year, former Vikings General Manager, Tennessee Titans President. Thank you for listening to TalkNorth.com. Best way to listen to this show or the network, subscribe at your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's easy. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod. See the shows as they are released. And thank you to our longtime sponsor, White Bear Lake Superstore, and our producer, Brandon Morton. All right, Jeff. So here's a piece of speculation and possible, you know, and I don't like doing irresponsible, crazy speculation. I like talking about stuff that could possibly come into play. And this is something that John Krasinski and I talked about on the Viking Update show earlier this week. What if the Vikings are sitting there at number 14 and one of the top five quarterbacks starts slipping toward them? And let's say for the moment it's Justin Fields. The first four teams take quarterbacks, and Justin Fields just starts dropping and dropping and dropping. If you're the Minnesota Vikings in your current situation, do you abandon your hopes of immediately upgrading the offensive line or taking the best player available? And do you consider taking or even trading up a few spots to take your future quarterback?
No. However, if all of a sudden one of those top five guys fell to the second round, then I would definitely consider it. But in the first round, I just think they're married to Kirk Cousins for this year and most likely next year. And Cousins is still, I think, with the right supporting cast, especially more protection, and he's got the good running game. He's got a great pair of wide receivers. I still think he's a top 12 and could even be a top 10 quarterback, especially if he can maybe improve some late-game performance. And so, to me, and I think Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer would concur, because they're on their extensions, but those extensions aren't that long. And so I think that they would rather draft, say, one of these premier offensive tackles, a Sewell from Oregon, a Slater from Northwestern, Darisaw from Virginia Tech, Barrett Tucker from USC, who can also play inside, and immediately replace Riley Reiff, or perhaps have Ezra Cleveland move outside and Barrett Tucker could move inside. And so I think that that's the smarter approach at this stage of the game for them. But you just never know how it's gonna shake out in the final analysis, and we'll see. But I would prefer that they go that approach, or perhaps take a premier pass rusher. And there are a couple of those guys sitting out there too that could fall. And I think the good news for them, as we've talked before, as these quarterbacks are picked before the Vikings at number 14, and they would love to see all five of those top five quarterbacks go, and it's possible, then that slides all these other really good position players down to them. And I think that's the smarter approach. And it could be a Christian Darisaw at tackle. It could be Barmore from Alabama, the defensive tackle, who could come in and rotate with Pierce and with the whole new scheme that they've got in terms of up front on defense. And so I think that the Vikings definitely have other needs and other options, and does not make a lot of sense to me to draft a quarterback in the first round. However, I wouldn't be surprised if a guy such as Trask from Florida was there in maybe the third round, that they do jump on somebody like that. And that could well be something that happens in this particular year.
Interesting. All right, that was my draft speculation for the day. Let's get on some actual Viking news here. So Clowney goes to the Browns. Stefanski looks like he is set up. Well, he had a very good team last year. It looks like he's set up to really have a consistently good team here for the immediate and near future. Do you think there's a chance Kevin Stefanski ends up winning a title with the Cleveland Browns, with Baker Mayfield as his quarterback?
I think it's going to be very interesting. I think that certainly the signing of Clowney to pair him with Myles Garrett gives them a really a dynamic potential pass rush, even though Clowney has not been a big sack guy, but he's been a big pressure guy. And one of the, usually the top 10 in the league in pressures. And that's oftentimes just as good as a sack, especially if it leads to an interception. And so I think talent-wise, and now you've got OBJ, Beckham coming back, and they've got a lot of talent on that team. I think that Kevin Stefanski definitely has a contender in the AFC. It's still going to be tough for them to overtake Kansas City and even Buffalo. And in their own division, they've got a lot of competition with Pittsburgh and Baltimore. And Cincinnati appears to be getting better. We know Joe Burrow's back this year. And they're going to have plenty of competition. But it's a huge step up from where the Browns have been for the 10 years or so before Kevin arrived. And I think he's brought stability to their organization. But again, a lot of it's going to depend on the development of Baker Mayfield. And can he take that next step to be really a top 10 caliber quarterback that he really hasn't done yet? And they've got a good running game. We know that. But I think that Stefanski and the Browns definitely have a contender, and Clowney is a nice addition for them.
Every team is looking for edge rushers, explosive athletes on the outside. Why is Clowney bounced around so much?
I think maybe he's had some injury issues. I think also big money guy, and it hasn't necessarily translated into sacks in terms of a 20-sack guy such as a Myles Garrett or Aaron Donald type. And he's, I don't think he's ever hit double digits in sacks. He's been at 9, 9.5 and so forth. But as I said, he's had a lot of pressures, and he still has a contract with the Browns that can get him to $10 million. He made $13 million in Tennessee last year. And I think the Seahawks had paid him $15 or so the year before. So the guy's made plenty of money, and he's an explosive player. Everybody remembers his college days and that phenomenal hit on the Michigan running back in the bowl game. But I think the fact that he just hasn't been a double-digit sack guy kind of makes the difference. And it's probably part of the reason why a Danielle Hunter sits there and says, hey, if this guy is making whatever, 10 to 13 million, he's never had double-digit sacks, and I'm at 14 or 15 every year, then I got to be worth more. And so even though Danielle, we know, is making around 15 million a year, but he wants to climb higher. And although it's a good thing that's been pretty quiet lately. So perhaps there's some behind-the-scenes conversations going on. We'll see it about Hunter.
Well, I mean, you work for an agency that represents NFL players. You have NFL sources, Viking sources. What do you think is happening with Hunter? Because that's one of the big dominoes that could fall one way or another for this franchise.
Well, I think what they are surely doing is saying, hey, can you please come back and show us that you're back 100%, and we can always talk contract even during the season. But right now, when you're coming off a neck surgery, that's a serious surgery. And I don't know how, as a GM, I certainly as a GM or team president would not have wanted to extend a player and bring them into a $20 million classification category, whatever, until I knew that they were not only healthy on the x-ray, but also performing at their previous level. And the good news is Danielle Hunter's a young guy. I think he's only still about 26 or 27. And so certainly he's got a lot of great years left as long as he's healthy. And we've seen plenty of players come back from those type of injuries and be extremely productive. But I've got to see it if I'm the GM before I'm going to extend him. And it's really, to me, kind of crazy for even the agent to be talking about this until they can prove that he's fully recovered and fully healthy and producing at his previous level. So I think that there's conversations definitely between the two camps. And I'm sure that they're saying, hey, come on in, let's see how you're doing. And we'll keep the conversation alive.
Let's talk quarterbacks, the draft, and the voluntary workout brouhaha, which I'm sure you have very good insights on. We do want to thank our longtime sponsors, White Bear Lake Superstore, and remind you that if you'd like to advertise with this show or any of our new shows across or any of our existing or new shows across the network, I'm doing my own show now. It's called Blocked and Muted with Jim Suhan. We also are adding Lavelle Neal to our staff. He's going to be on the baseball show with Roy Smalley. We have tons of outdoor content. We have pretty much anything you could want to listen to. So if you'd like to advertise with us, you can reach former Twins executive Karen Cleary at K-C-L-E-A-R-Y at talknorth.com. But again, we'd like to thank our sponsors for this program, White Bear Lake Superstore.
So, Jim, we got to wake up those Twins bats, though, first of all. But let's definitely talk about the White Bear Lake Superstore, Buick GMC. My longtime friend, the owner, Paul Rubin, his general manager, Charlie Gattrell, they're great staff. Our Minnesota's number one volume Buick GMC dealer, 6 years running with the best selection and with their super friendly premium team. And we always talk about their great website, the WhiteBearLakeSuperstore.com, and go there and check out the GMC Hummer EV SUV, the next all-electric super truck. And there's an offer up to 18% below MSRP on 2021 Buick SUVs for current Buick and GMC owners and lessees. And the White Bear Lake Superstore is the Quigley 4x4 Van Superstore. They are a certified elite dealer. Only 7% of GM dealers make the cut. So visit in person at 3900 Highway 61 North in White Bear Lake or online at WhiteBearLakeSuperstore.com for all your vehicle needs and the premium experience. Buick GMC, we are professional grade, and you can shop pre-owned specials on one lot, thousands in savings. The White Bear Lake Superstore.
The latest smart speculation around the NFL is that Arthur Smith taking over the Atlanta Falcons. You know, he has a franchise quarterback in Matt Ryan, but Matt Ryan's not going to be there forever and hasn't been really the cure to that team's problems in recent years. The smart speculation seems to be that the Falcons are going to take Trey Lance and let him develop under Matt Ryan and have him be the next franchise quarterback. What Trey Lance does seems to fit in perfectly with what Arthur Smith wants his quarterback to do. What do you think of that?
I think it's a good possibility. Matt Ryan, 36 years old, and Trey Lance has a lot of athletic ability, a lot of physical tools, and looks like a guy that could be a really exciting player. But again, you're talking about the fourth overall pick and very likely almost assured that you can get the best player in the draft. And so are you going to pass on some of these very, very top players out there, and such as guys like Pitts, the great tight end? So I don't know. I think that Matt Ryan, to me, is still a really quality player. And we saw that last year when he kind of lit up the Vikings, he and Julio Jones, in that midseason game that was the loss that was very costly to the Vikings. So I think, and we've seen quarterbacks obviously play into their late 30s and early 40s very often nowadays. So I'm just not sure that that's the best approach for them, and especially to take a guy like Lance, who's a developmental guy, unless they're really in love with him, if they really think that this guy may be potentially as good as Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, in that case, and throw Mac Jones into that mix, all those top five quarterbacks, then you may not get another chance at a guy like that who you think is a franchise quarterback. So if that's the case, if they deem him that high, then yeah, go for it. If not, if there's any question, then take the best player at any other position in this draft, and I think they'll come out fine in that regard too. I think Atlanta has some talent. I think Arthur Smith is going to do a good job there, as he did at Tennessee as their offensive coordinator. I think he's a creative guy, and I think he can do the job, whether it's with Matt Ryan for one more year or three, four more years.
It is fascinating to see the gold rush toward taking quarterbacks extremely high in the draft and even trading up like the 49ers have done to get quarterbacks high in the draft, and there's logic to it, right? You get a young guy, and if you get a franchise quarterback playing on a rookie contract and you can spend money on other positions, you're set for a long time. I mean, we all know the positives of taking a quarterback who ends up being a good player at the top of the draft. The fascinating thing is how often teams miss on quarterbacks in the first round. And, you know, my favorite stat heading into this draft where everybody's going to take a quarterback high is that only, I believe, only two quarterbacks have ever been drafted number one and have won a Super Bowl with the team that drafted him. And that's Peyton Manning and Troy Aikman. And everybody else, I mean, Andrew Luck was the right pick, but, you know, that team never really advanced in the playoffs with him. So the downsides are just as prevalent as the upsides for taking quarterbacks that high.
Yeah, I think, well, in Luck's case, they did get to an AFC title game early in his career. But again, I think you're right in terms of there is a definite risk with those top quarterbacks. And we saw it for the Jets with Sam Darnold already early in his career. And Baker Mayfield, yeah, he's done some good things, but still question marks on him. Goff and Wentz both have been traded already, and they were 1-2. And even going back to Winston and Mariota back in 2015, and neither of those guys had panned out with their original teams of Tampa and Tennessee. So there's a definite risk, and that's why when you talk about a Trey Lance and some of these guys, and even Zach Wilson, who obviously looks like the Jets are going to take him at number two, but he – a year ago, going into the college football season, there were a lot of questions about him, and he's still to win the starting job at BYU. So, and Justin Fields has had some inconsistency. The only guy that seems like a sure hit is Lawrence, and yet he's had some ups and downs too. So, although I certainly like what I see in Trevor Lawrence, but I think you're right. The good news for teams is if they can hit on that guy, on that rookie quarterback, you're set up for about 3-4 years. As we saw with Russell Wilson in Seattle and how it helped them win Super Bowls and get to Super Bowls because he was so cheap and they were able to build up that defense around them. And I think another part of the question mark when you draft these young quarterbacks in even this year, how much can you develop them in the offseason? And that kind of leads us to the next topic, Jim, in terms of the ping pong match going on right now between the Players Association and the NFL and the league in terms of the off-season program and how it's going to be structured and how the union is advocating for their players not to show up for voluntary workouts, which I'm not necessarily in favor of that approach, especially for young players and especially for a team such as the Vikings that wants to develop a lot of young guys that they've drafted the last few years.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's obviously not a good thing, but it feels like every maneuver like this is an attempt to, you know, frame the next contract CBA negotiations, or is it simpler than that?
Well, I think in this case, because the CBA has about 9 years left to run, it's a little early for that. And so I think what's kind of pushing this deal here from the union standpoint, I think you've got some veterans on the Players Association board, guys like their union president, J.C. Treader, in Cleveland, who's a 10-year vet, and he probably prefers not to go to the off-season workout program. And maybe he thinks it's going to extend his career. And maybe he's like Robert Smith, who we had with the Vikings, who didn't want to show up for training camp, as you recall back in the day. And because Robert thought it would shorten his career to play in preseason games, to report to training camp early. And so he'd always try to sign his contract about 2 weeks before camp, until he became a transition free agent and got an offer for 5 years from Seattle that I had to match. But be that as it may, I think that the union, to make this claim that the quality of play was better than ever by every measure, and that's a quote, last year, because there was no offseason program they're attributing it to, that's kind of ludicrous in my opinion. And I think that, as I said, for teams such as the Vikings who wanted to continue to develop young players like Dantzler and Gladney and Boyd and Hand in the secondary and Ezra Cleveland and Ole Udo on the offensive line, and even Justin Jefferson can benefit by working with Cousins if Cousins shows up for the program, which I would think he probably will. Adam Thielen, for example, has a $100,000 workout bonus in his contract. So I don't think that Adam wants to give that up. And there are other guys around the league. Von Miller has a $500,000 workout bonus. You think he's not going to show up in for the offseason program in Denver while the Broncos, supposedly their veteran players, are saying they're not going to come? Well, is Von Miller not going to come? And I think you're right. This is going to be a continuing negotiation between the union and the league, and trying to limit how much time they're on the field. And the league has already said there can be virtual meetings, and the weightlifting conditioning program is going to be in groups, small groups, to keep the social distancing. But I just don't think it's a great approach from the union standpoint in terms of development of young players. It's fine for veteran players who've been around for 10 years or 8 years or whatever, but for these younger players, and that's the bulk of the union membership, the younger players need the time with the coaches in the off season, I think, to help in their development.
Oh, there's no doubt it's good for the players. I don't care what, you know, I understand players wanting to be able to put the voluntary and voluntary workouts. I understand that it's a bargaining chip. I understand some players don't want to work out. They're not getting paid. I get all of it, but there's no doubt that if you spend more time together as a football team, you're going to be a better team.
Yeah, and I think that's true. And I think there's another factor that if a player is injured working out at the team facility, that they're going to get paid their full salary, as opposed to if they're working out at some other club, some other fitness club, then they're not going to get paid if they get hurt. It could be a non-football injury considered. And I've got to believe that the NFL team facilities are a lot safer and cleaner and more COVID-free than going to some public workout facility where they're not necessarily in smaller groups and working in social distancing. Even if they claim that there's only 50% or 75%, whatever, it's just not, it can't be as safe as an NFL team facility. And I think that they've cut this offseason program down so significantly compared to the old days that it's still not as much wear and tear on players, which I think is good. And I'm happy from our working at the agent group, I'm happy that it's not as much of a wear and tear on players, but I still think it's a benefit, especially for our younger players who need that development time with the coaches.
One more topic today, and we're going to go back to quarterbacks here because that is the most interesting of all the speculative things we can talk about. A reminder, you can go to TalkNorth.com to find all the shows, including the Viking Update show with John Krasinski. You can follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod to see all the shows as they are released. And again, if you'd like to advertise with this show or the network, you can reach Karen Cleary, K-C-L-E-A-R-Y at TalkNorth.com. Darnold goes to the Panthers, bumping Teddy Bridgewater out of the way. Bridgewater did not have a great year last year, obviously. Darnold, I find interesting because I look at Darnold and I see a lot of the things that have people excited about guys like, you know, Justin Fields and Zach Wilson and even Mac Jones. I think there's some upside to Darnold, but you're the expert. You tell me.
Yeah, I think the Panthers got a really good deal on a guy who was the former number three pick overall in the draft, and to get him for a sixth rounder this year and a second and fourth in 2022, that's pretty good value. And if he doesn't pan out there, it's really, they're not giving up first round picks, a ton of them, such as the Rams did to get Matthew Stafford. And so I think it's a good deal for Carolina, and to bring him in with an innovative offensive coordinator and Joe Brady, who had great success at LSU with guys like Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson and Joe Burrow. And he's going to have a better supporting cast, obviously, than he had at the Jets, especially if Christian McCaffrey stays healthy, who's one of the top running backs in the league. And he's got a really good receiving core in Carolina, much better than he had in New York. And so I think that it's a really good move. And I think that Darnold could potentially flourish there. And that could be the bargain deal of the year.
I agree. Good stuff from Jeff. Thank you for listening. We will keep telling you about the draft and the Vikings intrigue as we do close in on the draft. Again, you can also listen to the Viking Update show for kind of the writerly view of the Minnesota Vikings. Thanks for listening to TalkNorth.com. Thanks for producer Brandon Morton. And we'll talk to you next week.